Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
We're here today in Ashland, Virginia, the site of Randolph-Macon College, and it's exciting. Those of you who listen know I especially enjoy sports, as well as meeting different leaders in other fields of study at the universities, but sports as well. And we're here in the office of the head football coach, Pedro Arruza, here at Randolph-Macon College in Ashland, Virginia. And Coach Arruza, welcome to our program today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on.
And you're the head football coach here. How long have you been here at Randolph-Macon?
Going into my 12th season.
Okay.
So I was at Washington University in St. Louis for 5 years before I came here, and Butler University before that. So I spent a good part of my career in the Midwest. I was a Wheaton College graduate, played football there.
Right, okay.
And, so even though I grew up in Florida, I consider myself a Midwesterner who somehow ended up on the East Coast.
Gotcha, okay. And, you know, it's not often that you come into an office and find a Bible on the corner of the desk, so I'm sitting right next to the Bible here, and good company. But, as a matter of fact, we had a previous guest who a complaint about his speaking about Christ and having a Bible on his desk, and it was a coach from up in Pennsylvania, and he said he had been the head coach at University of Illinois at the time, and he said the ACLU guy came in his office and they had registered a complaint against him, and
right.
He said now, and he saw the Bible on the desk, and he said now you wouldn't want that Bible on the desk, would you rather have, would it be okay if I had a Playboy magazine there? And the ACLU guy said, oh yeah, that would be fine. So
right.
Values of our society are upside down today. But you're a follower of Christ, and though you went to Wheaton College, a Christian college, you said you didn't grow up in a Christian home.
Yeah, I didn't. My father actually committed suicide when I was 7 years old.
I was born
in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up moving here when I was 7 years old. When I say here, I mean to the United States. We moved to Florida, and I spent the better part of my childhood in Miami growing up. And then we moved to West Palm Beach. And when I was going into the eighth grade, so we moved to West Palm Beach, I ended up going to a Christian school.
Is that right?
In the eighth grade, met some Christian coaches, and you know, that's when I turned my life over to Christ. But made a huge difference. You know, after my father passed away, things kind of went downhill in our family. My mom tried to raise five of us by herself, and it was tough sledding. It was a tough deal to you know, have to deal with that and have to raise five boys on your own. And you know, that was the support that I got from my coaches at that high school, and you know, the relationships that I developed with them, and yeah, obviously the influence that they had in terms of, you know, leading me to Christ, and the impact that they had on my life was enormous.
Great.
It really, really shaped who I am today.
Great. Well, thank the Lord for that. And
No doubt.
Sometimes it does take hard times in our lives to make us open to spiritual things, and yet if we're not open to it, we miss out on the best things in life.
Right.
And now, so you're a coach here, and tell us a little bit about your football program here at Randolph-Macon.
Yeah, I've been here for 12 years. You know, I think the school and the administration in particular have been very supportive of what we're trying to do here. You know, obviously one of the objectives in athletics is to try to win, but we try to make the focus of our program to, you know, build better men and to, you know, have an impact on the guys that are in our program. We try to recruit high-character guys and are very, very intentional about how we develop those young men as husbands, as fathers, as, you know, young people. And I think every young man that comes into our program knows that we're going to be very intentional about that, and that's the focus of our program. That's the driving force behind everything that we do. And I'll tell you, the school's been incredibly supportive of that. They, you know, they understand that, you know, that's why we're here. They very much support that mission, and they understand that there's a strong spiritual component to our program. You know, it's not one of those things that we try to shove down anybody's throat.
Right.
But, you know, I'm very open with the players about my faith. They understand where I stand. We talk about those things pretty openly. And like I said, never in a way that is, you know, uncomfortable or, you know, inappropriate. But
sure.
I think the guys know where I stand. And and I think it's a big part of our program. You know, the values that we have in our program, the things that we do here, they're all based on Christian principles. When we hire people, I tell them that that's the case. When we recruit guys, I think they have an understanding of that. And, you know, we're obviously open to people of all kinds of faiths, and you know, we try to welcome everybody into our program. But you know, ultimately, we're here to make guys, you know, into better men, and you know, the foundation of that is my faith in Christ.
Great, great. And like you said, I mean, even if you wanted to, you can't force someone to be a believer in Jesus. He has to have an open and receptive heart. So it's trying to go about it the wrong way if we try and force anybody to believe what we believe. It's rather giving them the opportunity to hear, which is what so many people are missing today. And
right.
So many of the colleges that used to promote those things, it's no longer even readily available to the students.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think for us, you know, talking about it is one thing, but I think modeling that behavior and living a certain lifestyle and getting the guys to buy into that lifestyle, that you have to be intentional about that. You have to really spend a lot of time with that, and you know, the guys have to respect the way you're living your life and the way that you're going about things and the example that you're setting, not only in the way you go about your job, but the way that you treat your family. Then, you know, my family is very involved here. I've got a wife and three kids. They live here in Ashland, and they spend a lot of time around our players. They spend a lot of time around our program. And I think it's important, because I'll be honest with you, having grown up without a father, one of the things that, you know, really made an impact on me was not only watching my high school coaches, but watching my college coaches in their relationships with their wives. Those are the most healthy relationships that I was ever exposed to.
I see.
And
right.
Seeing that behavior modeled, and just watching how they treated their wives, how they treated their children, the way they led in their homes, really had a significant impact on me. And you know, that's what we try to do for our players. I mean, not just with me as the head coach, but we try to hire guys that are character guys and are committed to that lifestyle and are going to model those principles for our players. I think that's huge. I think that's really important.
Tremendous. Yeah, what a difference that makes. And we see so many athletes that are, all athletes in athletics are in the spotlight these days, and there's so many bad examples out there of how not to live and how to mistreat the people around you. It's great that there are some who's trying to lift up a higher standard, you might say.
Yeah, and that's what we talk about all the time, is the standard. You know, we don't have a lot of rules in our program. We don't have a lot of do's and don'ts. We have a lot of standards, a lot of expectations. And we talk about that a lot, just the standards that we hold ourselves to, not only on the football field, but in the classroom, and especially off the field. So that's the big thing in our program, you know, that we want excellence across the board. And, you know, obviously, if we're going to, I think as a Christian, if you're going to compete and you're going to be a football coach, then you want to compete to win.
Right.
And if you're going to run a football program, you want to run the best football program that you can run. And, you know, whatever you do it with excellence. I think that's what God commands of us, and that's what He requires of us. And, you know, so one thing I always make clear is we don't have a soft program. You know, we've got tough kids in our program, and they're competitors, and they compete on the field, and they get after it, you know. But hopefully when we walk off the field, we're also doing things the right way, and we're treating women the right way, and, you know, setting an example for everybody on campus. That's the one thing that I think we've tried to do as a football program, is, you know, hold ourselves to the highest of standards so that everybody can look at the behavior that we're modeling and saying, hey, that's the way we want this campus to be.
Great.
You know, on a lot of campuses, the football program is perceived in a negative way, you know, and you've got, you know, in our case, 125 guys on a campus that has 1,400 students. That's a good part of the student population.
Sure.
I always remind our players that they have a tremendous responsibility, because as they go, so goes the campus, you know, and if, you know, we have a bunch of guys that they don't go to class and don't carry themselves the right way in the classroom and don't act the right ways on the weekend, you know, that's going to have an impact on the culture here on campus. So, you know, we try to focus on the culture within our program, because we know that if we can get that culture right, that's going to have an impact on the culture at large.
Great, great. And when you were saying, talking about, you know, that your players are tough on the field, and being a Christian doesn't mean that you're soft in whatever you do. Jesus was a very strong individual and took extreme pain and hardship on our behalf when he died on the cross for us. But I think of the fellow who used to be called the Minister of Defense, Reggie White from the Green Bay Packers,
right.
And how you know, he had more sacks than anybody else in the NFL for a long time, and you know, was a hard hitter on the football field, but a follower of Christ and a leader of integrity off the field. And that's the kind of thing you're trying to do here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you see that modeled in the New Testament and the Old Testament alike. You see a lot of guys that, you know, guys like Paul, who, you know, have a hard edge to him, and Peter, who have a hard edge to him. And, you know, certainly one of the things that stands out about a lot of these guys is, you know, they're not perfect. You know, they make make a lot of mistakes. Some of those mistakes, colossal mistakes. You know, you look at King David, a guy that he was referred to as a man after God's own heart, and man, some of the stuff that he did was, you know, absolutely horrible. You know, but you read it again and again in the Old Testament, you know, that he was a man that, you know, sought after God and really tried to go about things the right way. So we're certainly not dealing with perfect human beings, but you've got a lot of guys in the Bible that, you know, were extremely tough guys and had a hard edge to them, but were also very compassionate and had a heart for God. And I think it's really interesting. I always talk to our players about this. In the case of King David, you know, a guy that, you know, had a warrior heart and a warrior spirit, and, you know, defeated Goliath, and you know, God makes reference to his heart time and time again. But one of the most interesting things is right before, you know, what most people know David for is the story of Bathsheba. And what I find interesting is that right before that happened, the Bible specifically says, and, you know, the book of Samuel, that David stayed behind at a time when kings normally go off to war. You know, and I think what happened to David a little bit, got a little bit older, he got a little bit softer, got a little bit complacent. And I don't think it's by coincidence that
his
great moral fall occurred at that time. So yeah, I think it's important to stay on guard and, you know, keep that edge and to realize that, hey, it could happen to anybody.
Sure.
That,
and then when David was confronted with his sin, of course, the key to Christianity is not that we're perfect. The message of Christianity is we're all not perfect, and we need a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior. And when we repent, we ask his forgiveness. Then he's there to help us and to help us change, too.
Yeah, absolutely. He was accountable and took full responsibility for his shortcomings and, you know, obviously made right with God. But you know, again, a lot of great examples in the Bible throughout the Old and New Testament of you know, the behavior that we ought to model, and a lot of reminders too of how easily we can fall.
And that's one thing that shows the Bible is real. It doesn't hide the faults of its heroes, you might say.
Yeah.
And of course, Jesus was perfect. He didn't have any sin his own. That's how he could pay for ours. But the rest of them, almost all of them, you can think of major times of failure.
Yeah, I'd say that's one of the most compelling things about the Bible is the characters really are so real. You know, you don't have guys that, you know, are they're not perfect. I mean, they're making all kinds of mistakes. And, you know, I think that the fact that these guys are put up as examples of what, you know, we ought to model, and yet they're so flawed, ought to tell you something about how real the Bible really is.
And now you're active with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in our last minute here. Maybe share a little bit about what you're doing with that organization.
Yeah, I mean, and the main reason that we started that several years ago, and it's been, you know, obviously it's contingent on the lead and dependent on the leadership that we have on campus. So several years ago, we had, you know, a couple football players running it. Some years were great, some years were a little bit down. And so we've kind of taken that over as more of a football deal. So every Sunday during the season, we get together. We'll either bring an outside speaker in or we'll have one of our players share. And, you know, we get together in the off season on Mondays and do the same thing. But it's been a powerful thing, you know, especially having our own players get up there and share their stories, and some sharing their testimonies, some talking about how much the program has had an impact on them, some talking about, you know, their families and the way they were raised, some in Christian homes and some in not Christian homes, and standing up there, pouring out his heart, you know, the impact that has, I think, is incredible.
Great. Well, my guest for this broadcast has been Coach Pedro Arruza here at Randolph-Macon College in Ashland, Virginia, just north of Richmond. And Coach, thanks for joining us for this time together.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
You have been listening to the Lions Den University Report. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lions Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lions Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844, or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.